Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through John chapter 17. I was hoping to have it all done by the end of the week, but there's just so much. It's hard to skip through John 17 because there's just so much here. So I'll do what I can today, and then we'll lead into next week and just take a couple of days to internalize this beautiful prayer by Jesus. This is his high priestly prayer where he's praying for the apostles, praying for the church. Power of Jesus' prayer, the Father grants, you know, the perfect prayer of the heart of his Son. It's amazing. Just yesterday we covered the section in verses 2 and 3 where Jesus said, "Since you have given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to all you have given to him," this reality of Jesus affirming, accepting the reality that Jesus has the power to give eternal life. That is power, like none other. And that he tells us very clearly, the eternal life is this, that you know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's the center of the church's preaching, really. And that the church leads people and desires to lead people to come into this truth so that they can be saved and have eternal life. The church, when she's healthy, sees this. She moves in it. She prays for it. She's passionate. Come, Holy Spirit, help us in this hour, especially this hour of confusion, when so much, it's so manifestly clear, Lord, that there's a lot of people whose lives are disordered, whose lives seem far from you, who speak in a way that brings offense to you, Lord. We pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit and great courage and mercy to flow from the church and boldness and the opportunity for people to be brought from death to life. Come, Holy Spirit. Verse 4, Jesus said, "I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave to me." That's where I ended yesterday. Accomplished the work you gave to me. You and I, Jesus said, "I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. And I have appointed you to bear fruit." That's the work Jesus has called us to do. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And it's going to happen. So he told us, how do we have freedom, and we can do with the time he's given to us what we desire to do, to respond to him fully, partially, not at all. But in the end, what we decided will be manifested, because we'll either have the fruit that came from abiding in Jesus, and that is living each day with him, having conversation with him, being serious about growing in our relationship with him and pursuing the universal call to holiness and mission, to internalizing his promises and walking in those promises, the kind of promises that we've heard from him throughout these chapters in John's gospel, and really believing and trusting our whole lives to those promises, and then following Jesus's radical leadership is just so central to the whole thing. Not to have Jesus along for the ride in my life, but to literally have him in the driver's seat of my life and seeing where he wants to take my life as I learn and I learn from discerning who God made me to be, how he wants me to live, and he wants me to live it out with him fully in this life. So verse 5, "Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world was made." Again, here's another astounding, shocking claim by Jesus. I was with God, united to him before everything was created. I mean, I often think of C.S. Lewis's liar, lunatic, or Lord, you know, the various claims that Jesus makes. Here's another one. Would a sane man make this claim? Would these men die for a man who wasn't sane? They knew who Jesus was. They saw the manifestation of the kingdom. They saw him raise people from the dead. They knew who he was. By God's grace, they could make the confession that St. Peter made. You know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's Jesus. Jesus was the eternally begotten Son, eternally lived in the glory of the Father, and he humbled himself, Philippians 2 says. He humbled himself. He emptied himself of that visible manifestation of that glory that's fully revealed in heaven. He became one of us and he took on human flesh. He emptied himself and became a servant. But in his obedience, through what he suffered, he saved us, and God the Father will raise him up, and God the Father has destined that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is just praying, Father, it's time for me to come home. Raise me up into full glory. And that raising up, friends, is what does it all. It's the victory of Jesus and the hope for the salvation of the world. He took fallen human flesh, humanity destined for glory, had fallen from glory with no capacity to raise ourselves to glory other than the shabby things we call glory in this world, all that pass away and they fade the moment after, you know, it happens. But this is an eternal glory, the glory of God. And he said, I have manifested your name to the men you gave me. So the original band of brothers gathered around Jesus. The Father had given to him, and Jesus knew it. These men you gave me, I have manifested your name. It's beautiful, beautifully put. You say, what's your destiny as a disciple? Manifest the name of God in how you live, how you act, how you spend your time, your talent, your treasure, your character. This is where we're all going, friends. Jesus wants to produce in us his capacity to manifest the Father, and his now giving us a capacity to manifest Jesus through the gift of the Holy Spirit, through a different way of living, a different way of thinking, living with a renewed mind, walking in signs and wonders, being able to extend his kingdom in the world. He said, to the men you gave me, who Jesus called out of the world, they were yours and you gave them to me. Everything belongs to the Father. We were all formed in the mind and the palm of the Father's hand. They have kept your word. There's something that Jesus is praying for us right now in this shaking and trial for the bishops, the priests, the Pope, for you, me, everybody who bears his name. We believe in him. Those who radically believe in Jesus, radically believe in Jesus, in his church, because God the Father has given us to the Son. When Peter made that confession of who Jesus was, Jesus smiled and he said, "Ah, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My heavenly Father revealed it to you. You know it because my Father showed you, and he's giving you to me, and he's helping you see who I actually am." And Jesus rejoiced in it. And they kept his word, and this is what we're called to do, friends. When there's a stress in the nations, when the Lord is shaking the nations, when he's testing human hearts, when the church is being purified, and the chance is the church going to rise in this moment, that by bending her knee, confessing her sin, opening up everything that's hidden, because everything that's hidden is all going to be proclaimed anyway. We're going to acknowledge the habit patterns of sin and the compromise and the sin and the deception that's in the church, the emptying sometimes even of the teaching and the person of Jesus, that we confess it. We confess how our efforts aren't bearing fruit because in some way the church isn't walking in the faithful. It's not just the culture and the pressure of the culture that's certainly there, but there's something more there. There's something more. And it has to do, have we kept his word, his whole word? Let's cry out to God. Let's not hide. Let's tell the truth. Let's repent. Come, Holy Spirit. Verse 7. They know everything you have given me is from you. So they know that Jesus is from the Father. Jesus loves that recognition by the apostles. He gets it. Eternal life is close now for them. Why? Because they know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And they know him not just as another prophet, but as a sent one. This sent one is directly from heaven, the one who has been with the Father before all time. Verse 8, I have given them words, the words you gave me. Now Jesus is faithful. Jesus gave them all the words that the Father gave him. Everything he gave, the Father gave to the Son gave to them. And they have received these words, and they know in truth that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. That's really a description of the heart of an apostle. We received everything from Jesus. Everything. We don't edit anything. We don't stand in judgment over anything the Lord has told us and what he's revealed to us about reality. We're not blushing at the gospel. We're not ashamed of the unique and radical claims of Jesus that no one else can claim and the mission that he's given to us. And they know, the apostles, that he came from the Father, and they believed he's the one. Jesus then said, Father, I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world. Isn't that interesting? He says at that moment, at least, he said, I'm not praying for the world, Father. I'm praying for them. I'm praying for my church. I'm praying for these brothers who are the foundation stones upon which I'm building the church. But for those you have given me, that's who I'm praying for they are yours. Do you see how connected Jesus is and how preoccupied he is with the will of the Father, with the heart of the Father, with the plan of the Father? That plan got transferred to Jesus. Jesus lived it out, made it possible, and he passed it on to us, onto the church. And first to the bishops and those who are in union with the Pope, who are leading us in areas of faith and morals to walk in the truth that Jesus passed on to us. Verse 10, all that is mine is yours and yours is mine, and I'm glorified in them. Now, the Father glorified the Son by giving him power to fulfill everything. The Father backed everything Jesus did. Jesus did only what he saw the Father doing, he said. And then Jesus gave glory to the Son Jesus gave glory to the Father by obeying the Father, by doing what the Father commanded him to do. And he said, I rejoice. This is my food. I love this. This is what I'm about. And he gave glory to the Father. And now we're called into that. We're called to glory. We're eternal glory with God. But in this earth, we're called to walk in the same way of intimacy with the Father, to receive the plan of the Father for our lives, and to obey the commands of Jesus. And as we obey those commands, to love God, to love neighbor, to walk in mercy and justice and kindness and speak the truth in love and walk in the fear of the Lord and pursue with passion like the saints in following the footsteps of Jesus, pursuing and seeking and saving the lost and having our place in it, every single person. We pray about it. We weep about it. It's part of our lives. That's what it means to be a healthy disciple and to glorify him just as he gave glory to the Father. What a privilege, friends. What a privilege. I'm praying for them, not just for the world. All mine are yours. I've glorified them. Thank you, Lord. I just want, at the end of the week, friends, we'll just stop here and we'll pick up the rest of this on Monday. We're living at a profound moment in the history of the church and history of humanity. The things that are happening, the shaking of the world, the profound stress that's happening in the world, God is permitting. His church is meant to be a prophet, to live now from the wisdom of God in the power of the Spirit, and to be a light. This is your moment. Take it up and walk in it for the glory of God. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.